Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, theology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I will be with you for at least the next hour tonight, and we've got a great guest for you. A couple of things that I want to say on this August the 13th on the West Coast, August the 14th on the East Coast, in the Central Time Zone, as well as across the world, on many, many radio stations, several hundred, and including Blog Talk Radio and Wind Talkers Radio Network. What do we say? Well, there's a lot going on, and I find it kind of interesting that the disinformation campaign has been ratcheted up several thousand times. And today I was doing some research, and I entered a special combination of names into a search engine, and I ended up on a website that was actually blocking me, blocking my IP address from entering that site. And I recalled that that site might be run by the CIA or the NSA, so I really got a chuckle about the fact that I had been blocked from an NSA or CIA website. It's in Herndon, Virginia, and I found it very interesting that in the normal process of looking for the truth, that someone would prevent me from reading their disinformation. Rather comical. Later today, actually this evening, I was in a private phone conversation, and someone tapped into the line. You could hear the click, and you could hear feedback, the squealy kind, like somebody whistling at a high pitch, and it didn't just go on for a second. It went on for quite a while until they figured out that they were feeding the sound from the speaker back into the microphone, and I made the remark to the person I was talking to that they would do themselves well to grab a manual on audio production and, while they're at it, review their eavesdropping wiretapping booklet, because if you're going to eavesdrop on somebody, you're supposed to do it secretly. And I find it rather humorous that that you have to be so brazen about it and so unprofessional. Certainly the NSA and the CIA, with the trillions of dollars that they have at their disposal through their illegal drug trade, could come up with something better than that. So that's my rant for the beginning of the show. With that tone, I want to give a shout-out to a bunch of people that listen to this show very regularly. Karen, Bob, and Bill, David Crenshaw, Sheila, Sylvia, Zachariah, Jill, and I understand that there is a pretty blonde lady by the name of Katra that likes Evident Footprints and has been listening to the show. I want to welcome Katra as one of our listeners as well. With that, I bring a good friend. He's a friend to many across this planet. He served with the U.S. Marine Corps from 1967 through 1977, and he has his own radio show heard throughout the world, especially on blogtalkradio.com and Wind Talkers Radio Network. And he's become a very close friend. He's a fellow researcher. He doesn't mince words. He's got the power of God in his voice and in his mission. And he's my good friend, Drew Malone Raines III. Drew, welcome to the show.
And thank you very much for allowing me to come on to your show today. As we all know, I'm always having stumbling blocks here. And I'm proud to be on your show, and I know that we both have a lady out there that is standing by just in the cheering room and clapping her hands. I got them together. I got them together. That was my networking, and that's what we have to do, ladies and gentlemen. Network. Even when, even in passing, Mary Ann Ponder put Greg Evenson and Don Nikoloff and Drew Raines together, and she deserves 100% of all those kudos.
Yes, yes, I agree with you. You know, and it was a whole year at least, year and a half, that she was pushing us, you know.
Oh, and she wasn't just pushing you. She was pushing me. She was pushing Greg independently. It was like, if not at least once a week, it was three times a week. Drew, you got to get Greg Evenson on the show. You've got to get in touch with Don over at DBS Radio. He's got this great website. He's a great researcher. Y'all are just like two bees in a pod.
Yep, she would say that, and she had a lot of big plans to help returning veterans in a lot of ways. And she was a very, very spiritual person. She was very grounded in her faith, and she was a real trooper. And yes, she is the reason, and we'll talk about her often, folks. So you know, she's not forgotten.
Oh no, you know, I have this old adage that no one is dead unless people forget them, and I remember all my ancestors, because my ancestors, I feel, are alive and well in the spirit and will be there when the time's for me to cross over. And it's going to be a big party when I cross over, because there's going to be a lot of them, because I've been yelling and screaming for them for years. I haven't forgot my ancestors, and I hope and pray many of you haven't forgot yours.
Yeah. Well, Drew, lots of things are going on. What do you have to share with us tonight? I know we're going to be all over the place tonight.
Well, I want to start off with my favorite black preacher out there right now, and I want to tell you, Dr. David Manning has come forth. And this last week, and I just now got the audio clip, and I hear this day in and day out. I have, ladies and gentlemen, in the Marine Corps, we don't have color. We have, you're green. There is no color. There's no black, white, yellow, green, pink. You're just solid green. Everybody's green. There's no white and black. There's no Asian. There's no Mexican. There's no Spaniard. There's no Russian. We're green, just like on the Starship Enterprise. Everybody is from this planet or another planet, but they all make up one thing, and that is the Federation. So this is one of the things and one of the goals that I try to bring forth, and one of the goals that my mother and my grandmother and my father and my grandfather and my great-grandfather and my great-great-grandfather and my great-great-grandfather, my great-great-grandfather who owned slaves, who bought slaves, because that was the time and the era of time. But something that was unique about my great-grandfather and my great-great-grandfather, the slaves that they owned were not just black, they were white. And when they left, and after they came to the plantation and worked for 7 years, on the seventh year, they were handed a piece of paper of their freedom. It didn't make any difference what their color was. They worked for 7 years. If they were born a slave, they left a free man with their mother. If the mother was an indentured servant and the baby was born in slavery, the baby basically would help out around the house, would help around the farm. If the baby was born right there within the year, the children would be 6 years old maximum. But he never had any slaves that were under 15. He wouldn't buy a slave under 15 years old. He felt that they couldn't sell them slaves themselves into indentured servitude. And so my ancestors understood the Bible better than we do today. And people ask where I get all of my energy. I get my energy from my ancestors, who have come forth and spiritually came to me somewhere along the line and gave me the meaning of Matthew chapter 7, verse 26. But everyone who listens to these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a stupid man who built his house on the beaches of sand. Profound words, if you know where you're going in your life. Granted, you know, we don't know what we're doing when we're 20. Anybody says that you're fully matured at 20, 21, 22 years old, I beg to differ. You have to live and live through battle and watch friends die and wake up one day and find out that your buddy 3,000 miles away is not going to come home. The buddy that you played football against but had admiration and respect for, who was a better man than all the other men that were leaders on other football teams, was killed in Vietnam. And you find, you look to his family and his family in major grief, and you wonder where you're going to go at 19 or 20 or 21 or 22. So you have to wake up. And it's not a black, white, yellow, pink, green. It's all green in the Marine Corps. And I ran across this video, and I would appreciate, Don, if you would give me permission, because Dr. David Manning, he's out there on the people side, on American side, as a Christian, and I'd like to play a little five-minute clip, if you don't mind.
No, sure. I'd be happy to hear that.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is Dr. James David Manning, and he's talking about the foolishness of the black people and the pride, the foolishness of the black pride amongst specifically black women and the stupidity of black men. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a man that you need to have a little respect for as a Christian. He's not black. He's an American.
Teresa writes to me and says, really, have you looked in the mirror lately? I listened to your comments about black people having chips on their shoulders and all that nonsense you spoke about. Do you think those comments do anything to help further our cause? Yeah, I do. Hey, Teresa, or whatever your name is. Yeah, I do. That's why I said it, honey. If you're a honey. Yeah, that's why I said it. Knock your head. I say our because there is no doubt in my mind that I am black and proud to be black. But the way you talk was like you don't even think you are black. Well, I'm an American. I'm a Christian. You know, I'm a Christian. And by the way, Teresa, the Muslims that sold y'all into slavery over there in Africa were blacker than you probably. But, you know, you're so far down in... when you're black, are you also relating to the fact that 70% of black men don't take care of their families? They don't take care of their children. When you're black, are you saying that you're black and proud, Teresa? When you say you're black and proud, are you saying that you are proud that 70% of black children live in a home where only the woman is there at night, pays the bills? Are you proud of that? When you say you're black and you're proud, Teresa, are you also saying that when 80% of the black children, babies that are born in America today, they're born and the father of that child is not in the waiting room, not in the hospital, can't even be found, that a black baby comes into the world alone, just the mama? Is that what you mean when you say you're black and you're proud? Is that what you mean when you say you're black and you're proud? Hey, Teresa, with your nappy head self. When you say you're black and you're proud, are you also saying that you are proud that over the last 170 days of the long-legged Mac Daddy Obama's inauguration administration illegally, that there has been a shooting of a black youth under the age of 17 by another black youth under the age of 21 for the last 170 days without stopping, and that the... Father Flager, the white homosexual priest that supported Obama, that two young boys were shot down in his church this past Friday night. When you say you're black and you're proud, is that what you mean, Teresa? that 70, that in Detroit, that three out of every four ninth graders that start school in Detroit High School drop out and never make it. Is that what you mean when you say you're black and you're proud? When you say you're black and you're proud, is that what you're talking about? That Kanye West and 50 Cent and all those bow mouth heathens can get up and call you the black woman a B and a H, and y'all just grin and bear it. Hey, Sharisha, when you say you're black and you're proud, are you proud of that? Hey, Sharisha, when you see young black men walking down the street with their pants down below their knees, and they don't have a job, can't get a job, ain't going to get a job, but sure know how to knock up young black girls who come down the streets in the summer with these cheap strollers, cheap clothes on the baby, tight pants on her, looking for somebody else to knock up later on that night. When you say you're black and you're proud, is that what you're proud of? Is that what you're proud of? That more than 2 million black men are locked away in prison selling drugs, rape, and murder. And don't you tell me that the white man made that black man rape you and rape a whole lot of other folks. Hey, Teresa, when you say you're black and you're proud, is that what you're proud of? When Jesse Jackson said about Barack Obama, the long-legged Mac Daddy, that he wanted to cut his cojones off. Hey, Teresa, is that what you mean when you say you're black and you're proud? Hey, Teresa, when you have the black pastors taking money up out the ghettos of Dallas and Atlanta and paying $60 million for a private jet and another $20 million a year just to put it in a hangar and have it serviced, and $50,000 an hour to operate it. When they're going to preach in another black church in the ghetto, this man comes in at $50,000 an hour for poor black women who clean hotels and wash toilets, all in the name that Jesus is going to bless them because this man has got a private jet. Hey, Teresa, is that what you mean when you say you black and you proud? And, Teresa, and Obama is an illegal alien. Obama hadn't paid black folk 2 cents worth of attention since he's become the alleged president. Hey, Teresa, did you also know that it's going to be found out that Obama is the biggest criminal that ever walked planet Earth? What you going to say then when the truth comes out that this man has defrauded the federal government, he has defrauded the Illinois state legislature, he has defrauded the government in funding as a U.S. senator, and now has trampled on the Constitution? Are you black and you're proud about that, too? Is that what you're black and you're proud about? Well, I'm not proud of that, Teresa. Doesn't have to hit itself.
I just got to love this man.
Yes.
I've just got to love this man. This man tells it how it is, like it is. It's factual. And ladies and gentlemen, I used to make more money than anybody in my family ever made. And I made as much in 1 month as my mother made in 5 years when she was the same age. I made as much in 1 month as all five of my uncles made when they were the same age back in the 30s and 40s. I used to make a tremendous amount of money, and I was in love with the paper money out there that you see when you watch the movie They Live, and you put the sunglasses on, and the money doesn't look like greenbacks. It comes up and it says, this is your God. Money, even though I believed in God and Jesus Christ was my Savior, I was working as a slave to the system. And when I woke up one day and I realized that I hadn't been paying attention to the words that had been passed to me, and I learned that I was really a Waldensian, because of the Waldensian faith, did not believe in the things that the Catholic Church brought forth, that the Baptist Church brought forth. I believe that everyone who listens to the words of God and doesn't act on them will be like a stupid man. And I realized I was one of those stupid men. And I was building my house on sand. And I walked away. Now I don't make in 1 year I haven't made in the last 5 years, in 1 year, what my mother retired on combined in 1 year. In the last 5 years, you take all the money that I have earned that's been donated to me, the people that have broke down and helped me because I helped them when I at one time, that money cannot be placed in a checking account and total up. The five-year total would not equal to one half of what my mother retired on after working 60 or 40 years, 47 years as a registered nurse. Now, I am happier. I do not have begrudge anybody. I'm not jealous of anybody because they have massive amounts of money. I want to live free. I want to get back to liberty. I want to my relatives and those that live after me, after I pass on, I want them to live in a land of freedom, much like Thomas Jefferson and the founding fathers set upon this nation. But many of you out there don't know how to read the Constitution. You don't know how to hold the men and women that sit in Washington, D.C. as congressmen, as senators, as the Supreme Court justices. You darn well don't hold the president or vice president to any of the standards of the limitations of power that the contract, i.e. the Constitution, sets forth. The founding fathers wrote everything. They didn't sell us in slavery. They didn't sell us out. It was right there in print. The founding fathers and all the citizens of the colonies and all the citizens of the other states, they understood the contract. Why don't we understand the contract today? Why aren't we holding our representatives to the matchstick? No, we've allowed the government and the senators and the congressmen to massage the contract, to massage the rights, to do away with the statehood rights, and do away with the fact that the senators, i.e. the senators, really were the mainstay of one-third of the power of government. They represented the states, and therefore the states brought forth the two senators from every state, from the state legislatures appointed by the governor. And they could bring forth and recall the two senators at any time. They didn't have to go through a recall election. They could just meet in the legislature, the governor of Louisiana, three times before 1861. Three times. Got the legislature of Louisiana together and said, we're going to recall this senator. He's not representing us. Three times they recalled the senators, and they threw them out of office and got somebody else to take the job. Three times the state of Louisiana did it. Now, it happened six times in the state of Virginia. Other states followed suit. It wasn't a matter of following suit. That was their job. The state, if the senators sat in Congress and they didn't represent the state the way the governor and the legislative body of the state wanted them to do, after letting them, well, giving them a warning, they didn't have a recall election. The governor said, okay, legislature, here's what the man in Washington, D.C. is doing. This is what Ted Kennedy did. Went out and partied, and there's a major problem with his morality. This lady dies in Chapultepec. We don't need a man like this who has immorals. We don't need a man like this who's going to get out and get drunk, and a woman dies, and he's married with children at home, and he doesn't take the blame. He's out here lying. We don't need a man representing our state of Massachusetts. We need to recall him. But that's not how we do it today, ladies and gentlemen. Thomas Jefferson once wrote on July 21st, just a few short years before he died, I place economy among the first and most important virtues and public debt as the greatest of the dangers to be feared. And we have senators out there putting us in debt, but we don't have a governor or a state legislature that's got the guts to say these people don't represent us. You are out there every day getting involved with town hall meetings, and I personally stand and salute you. Dr. David Manning comes out and says that, hey, it's not a black-white issue. You know, those of you that are black that are out here disrupting these town hall meetings, you need to back up. this is a black preacher, and half of his congregation, more than half, I would say 80% of his congregation of 25,000 people are black. How many does he have on the web? I guarantee you he's probably got over a million that watch his sermons. He's on vacation right now. Everything from his website is all on repeat. You need to partake of what that is. You come to this show tonight with Don Nikoloff, this is where we have a good time. I just sat here and listened to 5 minutes and just chuckled all the way through it. But because I've got black men that turn me on to this and says, hey, Drew, you need to watch this. These black men are green machine black men. They're retired Marine Corps, staff sergeant, retired staff sergeant with 20 years. That's an E6, ladies and gentlemen. They retired 20, 25 and 30 and 40 years ago with 20 years of service as E6 because it was extremely hard to make rank past E6. E6, ladies and gentlemen. That back in 1967, an E6 took home $232 a month. $232 a month. And now today, an E6 staff sergeant, United States Marine Corps, makes $24,000. But he lives poorer than he did in 1967. In 1967, a private in boot camp made $67 a month. $67. After boot camp, he got a $30 a month pay raise, especially if he was a PFC. He would go to $102 a month before take home. But he got three square meals a day. He had no utility bills. He had his clothes on the at the dry cleaners on base, a shirt and a pair of trousers. A shirt cost a quarter to get dry cleaned. A pair of trousers cost 50 cents to get dry cleaned. If he had his dungarees, his work greens to be ironed and pressed, the shirt cost a quarter, and the green work pants cost 35 cents. We the dollar today don't buy half what it did then. So you yourselves out there are letting yourselves lose this nation, and you're not standing up enough. We've got senators out there right now who are not doing town hall meetings. They're not meeting their constituents. They're going out there and calling you on the phone and saying, well, I'm going to do a town hall meeting on the telephone. What a bunch of poppycock. You know, some senator calls me on the phone and he wants to give out his, take some phone calls in a course of 1 hour, and he says he's going to take maybe 20 calls, and he takes 14. And do I get a chance to look at his eyes? Do I get a chance to see his body movements? Does he get a chance to see how irate the public is? Does he get a chance to see how many people are going to join in and clap when somebody gets him a little irated? No, he hides behind a telephone on a voice machine. That, to me, is not leadership. That's cowardness. Leadership is when you've got the guts to walk into an auditorium where there's 3,000 people there, and you know that 2,000 of them don't like you, and you bring forth your point of views. That's leadership. And then if the people, i.e. that elected you to office, if the vast majority don't want you to vote for something, you need to step back and say, well, you know, Obama, I've got 3,000 constituents out here, and those constituents are standing up and saying, hell no, don't vote for this. We're not going to put up with it anymore.
I think your senator's calling you, Drew.
I know. That's what they do when I get on the radio. I'm not going to answer. That's why I have the phone has a call waiting machine. An answering machine, okay?
Yeah. Well, the timing was perfect.
I needed a breeze.
Oh, man. Well, you know, I can tell you're in high spirits tonight, and what you're saying is true. There are people that certainly are affected. Now, you know what went through my mind while you were describing $67 a month or even $232 a month? There are people, I'm not just going to say women, there are people of means to go out and spend $8,000 on a belt or $6,000 on a pair
How
of shoes.
How about a purse?
Or a purse. Yeah. Yeah. Same thing. Yeah. And they may not have $6,000 in that purse, but they certainly have to spend that money on the purse. Where do we put our priorities? You know, we talk about this all the time. The materialistic world that's been created, which puts money in the pockets of the corporations. And then when they decided that they've taken that enough money out and they don't have enough surplus, what do? They come begging.
I don't know. I mean, that's why we're on the talk radio show, and it's going around the world. You know, BBSradio.com is doing their job in letting people know on your show, Don, and on other shows around the world that are announcing the fact that people are not spending money properly. I mean, there's a movie out there about the lady that bought a pair of Prada shoes. It amazes me that the shoes cost $12,000 and we've got people out here starving to death. That, to me, bothers me.
Yeah,
it doesn't bother. Yeah, and just like Dr. Manning said on that little clip that I played, you know, we've got preachers out there traveling around the United States in aircraft that they paid $50 million for, and they've got it parked in a hangar that they pay $2 to $4 million a year, and then they have it maintenance. The maintenance fee is $500,000. Well, I have a problem when you start tallying all that money. So how much money can a $50 million do to feed a former military or set up, just like Marianne Ponder wanted to do? She wanted to set up a safe house, a brother's house, where military men could have a place to hang out and get 3 square meals a day, regardless of what their life was like, regardless of what their color was like, regardless of where they came from. It would be a place for them to put their head down, and they wouldn't have to worry about somebody beating them up in the middle of the night.
Because they were laying in an alley, yeah.
Or laying in an alley, exactly. And they could have a place to get some help. Get some help for their health. We don't have that. We've got men out here right now with Agent Orange from Vietnam that are not getting any benefits, and we've got a select few that have the benefit of friends, the benefit of family, that get out and fight, and they find that if they stand and fight for what they're supposed to get, they can get a check every month for $2,700 a month. But they've got to fight to get that money. They have to, but the problem with getting that money, they also have to give up their rights. What are their rights? They have to give up the right of owning a gun. They have to give up the right of living in a house, without any of the protections of the Bill of Rights. Because, once they start taking that money, the government can say, well, we're going to go out there and search that guy's house at 3 o'clock in the morning. That's wrong. The money for all Vietnam vets that have Agent Orange syndrome or that served in Vietnam at all, that have the problems with the hypertension that they have, there should be a set fair amount of money going to all of those men, just like these young men and women that went into Gulf War I that took anthrax vaccinations and what other type of poisons they had.
Yeah, they turned them into
guinea pigs. I got a big time problem with the government sending men off to war and dying with the day's salary of, what's their salary? $2,000 a month as a staff sergeant? $1,600 a month as a sergeant? $1,400 a month as a corporal? And yet, if they take that 2 years experience or 4 years experience, they walk out of the Marine Corps and they go work for Blackwater, and Blackwater pays them how much? $50,000 a month to be a mercenary? And the government paid Blackwater $100,000 so they could have $50,000 to pay for that troop that used to be a Marine or used to be a Green Beret to fight in a war, that the United States government has put us in? We don't need wars, Don. The wars that we're having is to do what? To hide the fact that our economy is going to the gutter fast. The fact that we're putting men and women in danger in countries all over the world when we've got, just like Dr. David Manning said, we've got young boys walking down the street with their pants all the way down to their knees. And what do? They're looking for young girls to seduce that night and get pregnant. That's their style of their life. Walk down the street and be nasty, yell at a girl out a car window, call her everything but a white woman or a black woman or a lady, and then the women to sit there and take it. And then you got, and it's just not the young black men, it's the young white men. Young white men out there, well, if you don't sleep with me, you don't love me. If you don't have oral sex on me, you don't care about me. I have a problem with our society, Don. We've lost our morals.
Well, you bring up a valid point, too, and I don't really want to change the topic, but you brought up, these vaccinations that the soldiers are being forced to take. And under the auspice of protecting them from disease, where many of them have come down with some very serious diseases. I got a call today, and I talked to someone whose grandchild received some vaccinations for qualifying for football at school. And they got a DPT shot. They got a tetanus shot, and they got a typhus shot. Now, when is the last time you ever heard of anyone getting a typhoid fever shot for playing football? It's insane. And this young man went home that night and broke out in a very scary kind of fever, and was taken to a doctor the next day and was diagnosed with mononucleosis. Immediately, less than 12 hours after having received that shot. Think about that. What is this society coming to that they can turn the kids into guinea pigs?
No, it's not only that. It turns it. It's the happenstance of turning the kids and the young men and the young women that are in the military against their brothers and fathers and sisters and brothers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But it's only because the ones in the military aren't getting the education that they need.
Well, I'm talking about civilians here now. This is just the kid that signed up for football in the state of, I think it's in Tennessee that this occurred. I mean, think about that. Think about what's going on.
And that's the only one we know about. It probably happened in other states.
Yeah, I'm going to get more information on it. I'm going to get all the specifics on it. But I heard this, and I'm thinking to myself, it's started. And we've heard other accounts. But you see that now there are people coming out now talking about it. Obviously, there's something terribly wrong there. And is there a way to reverse that? You have to ask yourself. You're protecting the child from three diseases, and you give him a fourth one on the first day of being at football practice. And I don't even know the details if they actually even put on pads and went out in the field. I don't suppose there.
No. They're not. I saw that story, and no, they were just in shorts and jerseys. It's the first 5 days.
Oh, that's college. You're talking about college. The high school and junior high kids are already wearing pads. I know that for a fact.
Really?
Yeah, that's a college rule.
Oh, I didn't know. I thought that was uniform. Here in Arkansas, the college rule goes to the high school rule.
Well, I can.
That's here in Arkansas. The high schools here in Arkansas are not allowed to put high school players in pads for 10 days after they come when they come back for practice.
Yeah, well, these kids have been practicing for a few weeks already, so they're wearing pads. And this isn't in my area that this occurred. This is elsewhere.
Right, but I understand.
But
in Arkansas, football practice for high schools is not allowed until the first Monday of August.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's Arkansas is a big time sports state, and several years ago, back in the 90s, we've had a number of kids in high school die on the training grounds.
Yeah.
In the first week of training, and the coaches were bringing them into football practice in the middle of July, in the hottest part of the summer, and putting them in pads. And there were three boys died that summer, and all of a sudden the state legislature came out, and that particular year they put a mandate that no high school student can hit the ball field before the first Monday of August, and he must stay in shirts and shorts and cleats for 2 weeks. That's 10 days. And that 10 days can be a Saturday and a Sunday if the coach and parents and the school want to allow the coach to teach or to have practices on Saturdays and Sundays. It didn't limit it to how many practices he could have, but there was a mandate that they would stay in jerseys and shorts. Now, one of the nice things about all of that, or one of the things about all that, these coaches here in Arkansas, these kids start on the first day of practice. They're there at 7:30 in the morning, and they practice for 3 hours. And then they have to come back that afternoon at 4:30, and they practice for another 2 hours. They 5-hour-a-day practices for 2 weeks. And since all of this has happened, we've only had one death in the last 15 years for heat stroke.
Yeah. Well, you know, this is a totally different situation here. I mean, typhoid fever. Have you ever heard of a football player getting typhoid fever?
No, not in my lifetime. That's like bubonic plague is now running crazy in three sections of the world right now. But the Bible tells us that we're going to have all these diseases, Don.
Yeah, well, they're turning the kids into guinea pigs too, you know. And people, I brought this up because people have to be aware of this. This is real. This is going on. And to come down with mononucleosis.
And here the investigation of this is typhoid fever. Guess what? If you travel to Argentina, you have to get a typhoid fever shot. Did this kid was he with parents that and went down to Argentina this summer?
Oh no. No.
That's a good question.
No, this occurred yesterday at football practice. He got the shot. Got sick overnight.
He got the shot and got sick overnight. What the heck is he doing with a typhoid fever shot? That doesn't make sense. That sounds to me like somebody's running a little test on what they can put in the vaccination.
Yeah, and that was the explanation they gave.
And this kid just happened to be the lotto draw to get the actual disease in the shot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So we just want to bring that to people's attention that this is going on, and as I have more information, you know, I'll certainly share it with you so you can share it with your listeners, Drew, on your show.
Yeah.
But this is... This insanity is real, folks. You know, the insanity is real. Doesn't have to happen, but people got to wake up. And that message, you know, we should talk. We should come back to Dr. Manning, because here's a man that was actually saying some things that I've been saying, you've been saying. We've seen this setup that we have, this usurper, who he has nicknamed the long-legged Mac Daddy. And this usurper is intent on becoming the leader of the world. He fancies himself as the leader of the world. And we've talked ad nauseum about the financial corruption that's going on, and we're getting reports that it's going on in real time now, that they're attempting to get into foreign bank accounts, and they're being stopped. And they're going to, so they're thinking of every possible way they can try to get their hands on some clean cash because of Basel II and Basel III and the fact that we're not in compliance with the other countries that have agreed to it. This saga is still going on. And so all these things that we are dealing with, what we're talking about, really are designed to create fear and to create bigger problems. But the first intention is to create fear and to divert the attention away from what is really going on, what affects people. Most people are affected by their income, their ability to buy something or their inability to buy something. They're not even concerned about saving. They just want to have the money in their hands, either to pay bills or to buy something. And they're so enthralled, they're so entrapped in this material aspect of everything. Everywhere you turn, somebody's hitting you up to buy something, to change your appearance, to acquire possessions, because that puts money in the pockets of the corporations that they can steal and then come belly aching that the economy is bad, and then turn around. And the reason why this is happening is because those corporations don't pay taxes. Those corporations are offshore for the purpose of avoiding taxes, and they really steal all the money. They're stealing the tax money. I talked to someone today who described to me how a superintendent of a school has the mother working there at a 50% discount and is getting benefits, and there's obviously they've caught some theft of public funds, okay? And this is going to come out. This is in the school system that this is going on, okay? Where they're teaching our children, and they're thieving right there in the system, because these people that found this out have to do their books. You see, they have to account for every penny that's spent, and there's bills that aren't paid publicly. The school owes money to local companies that when they buy food or they invest in books or things outside of the expense accounts of the school. They expect these teachers to take the money out of their pocket. And there are teachers around the country that aren't getting their paychecks and haven't gotten them for a couple of months now. Do you hear that in the mainstream media about California getting IOUs, the teachers and all the government workers, or Pennsylvania? I hear it's going on in New Jersey and in Massachusetts. I don't know to what extent, but this also echoes what I've been saying about the corruption, how they're stealing the public funding and putting them in their bogus derivatives and hedge funds. It's just one criminal act after another, and everybody is saying, oh, the economy is looking up. They're lying to us about the economy. Now, that's the only thing, Drew, that affects people until everybody is where they don't have any money. Then they're going to start watching each other die with these vaccines and this Frankenstein-like medical society that we have.
This health care that's being brought forth by Obama, it's being impressed upon us. It's going to kill us. It's going to kill us left and right. And I am amazed that Americans are standing up in droves, but there's so many Americans out there that feel that, oh, well, this is the greatest thing since sliced bread. And they're not even reading what's in this health care bill. That's got me upset, Don. Dr. Manning did a speech on it two or three weeks ago. I'm going to be playing it on my show tomorrow. That specific clip. Okay, as well as the one that we played tonight. Okay,
yeah.
Those people out there, you think you're free? You're not free. Okay? Got news for you. You're going to die if this bill goes through. I don't know what to tell you, Don. I'm really frustrated about it all. Okay? Because you've got this pro-choice lobby group out there. I've ran across several articles about the pro-choice lobby and abortions that date all the way back to 1939, and abortions by the pro-choice people who started in 1939 with statements that black people needed to be wiped out. And that's what this healthcare bill is all about.
Well, that's what they're doing to black people in Africa. They've been doing that for 40 years at least.
Exactly. I mean, you take a good hard look at this health care bill. You know, on page 50, for instance, section 152, the health care will be provided to all non-U.S. citizens, illegal or otherwise. Well, that's not what Obama said night before last. He said that the health care bill was only for Americans and it wasn't for anybody. If they were illegal aliens, they couldn't get health care. It would put a stop to health care for illegal immigrants. But you look at the bill on page 50, ladies and gentlemen, section 152. It specifically says that health care will be provided to all non-U.S. citizens. That, to me, is a bald-faced lie by Obama.
Well, they changed the script on the teleprompter is what happened. You know, and they think we don't pay attention to what's said. You know, they think no one hears or you know, no one discerns what's going on. That's what's so ridiculous about this. And then they're worried about what we say. Well, they're worried when we point out the truth. You know, on your show yesterday, Drew, when I was on your show yesterday afternoon, my listening audience really didn't hear much about that if none of them listened to your show yesterday.
Excuse me, were you on my show yesterday? I thought I had Bob Chapman.
Or was that 2 days ago? Well, yeah. Well, you're mincing words now because we're on the West Coast.
On Wednesday, were on my show.
Yeah, on the West Coast, it's still Thursday, okay? So.
For 6 more minutes.
Yeah,
it's not. For the West Coast, you got another hour.
Yeah, and 8 minutes. So, we talked about God, right? And we talked about the fact that people can talk to God, that there is and there are solutions. There is a solution to this, and there are solutions that will come forth. But people have to pay attention to what's going on. So many are oblivious to it. We've talked about this over and over and over again. And we asked folks, you know, how many of you out there are actually doing something about it? I recall you saying that. You say that quite a bit on your show, in fact.
I tried that. That is why I, in my verbiage on how to get people to act. Because I don't want them sitting there just sucking down their 7-course dinner, i.e. a hot dog and a 6-pack, and think that there's going to be that everybody else is going to help them. There's going to be people out here to help them, but they've got to help themselves. But I need their help too. I can't do it. I don't have the money to do it. I barely get the bills paid around here. By the grace of God, I'm still here fighting for what I believe in without selling my soul out.
Yeah, it comes down to a choice, doesn't it? You know, ultimately it comes down to making that final choice. And everyone's entitled to make the choice that they want. I'm not going to criticize people for making one that isn't necessarily in their best interest.
Well, you know, I'm out here. I'm going to network and get other people to get out there and network. I'm going let them know that I have no animosity against any race, creed, color, nation, nationality, whether, no matter what planet you on. If you profess to God, the creator of the universe, to Jesus Christ, the Savior, the only begotten Son, then I don't care what you look like. I don't care what race, creed, or color you come from. I feel that everybody should be green, okay? And you should stand up and unite for one common good, and that's liberty. Liberty, free will. And that's what God has put us here on this planet, Don, is to give us free will.
Yes.
But to allow ourselves to be taken over by a reptilian or taken over by a spirit and maim and kill and murder and rape and pillage, that's not free will, and anybody out there that says that you can't stand up against that, I've got news for you. All you've got to do is open your heart up to the one creator of the universe, and if you think the creator of the universe is not there, I beg to differ. This planet Earth, is not even a flea on the backside of a flea on the backside of a beetle under a telescope, microscope, with 100 times the magnitude. If you put our planet on the on our sun and put our sun on the planet that sits out there approximately 300 million light years away, that planet, that one planet is as big as our galaxy. Now, that's how big God is, only he's bigger than that.
It's beyond imagination, you know.
So all of this BS that there was a thunderclap, well, yeah, I guess it was a thunderclap. The creator clapped his hands together and created it all. I don't care which way you want to put it. Bottom line is, we're all one. He created everything, and he's allowing us to ferret out the evil, and you either live under the blessings with honor and respect to others and give honor and respect to others, not by color. You don't give a preference choice to a black person or preference choice to a yellow person. You give preference to the spirit, because in all actuality, the spirit is a light. There's in light, the light is bright. It's not. It's all light. It's not. There's no dark light.
Yeah, you know, Reverend Manning talked about being an American. And he said, you know, it's in another one of his speeches, I guess you could call it, or monologues, or soliloquies, where he's addressing his congregation, but he's really speaking to the whole world. You can't listen to that man for a minute and not catch that spirit behind his words. And he says. And he's not a racist by any means. He says things like, you know, this promotion of this color thing. He said that it's going to upset white people. White people are going to begin to take to the streets, and they're going to begin to say, this has to stop. This is enough, because we have been complacent. And he said, when they go to the streets, I'm going to be there with them. I'm going to join them. I want to be a part of that. And really, he's making a point. You know, when we had the civil rights movement in the 60s, I'm not saying at all that was bad, but it was orchestrated through a series of assassinations to get people into a certain mindset, if you will, to polarize people. Okay, it you had riots going on. There were cities burning all over the country during that time, and I know you remember that time, Drew. There are many who weren't alive then who are listening to the show tonight, and so they did not experience that. And they showed the images of this on TV to us. And of course, I'm not saying that black people didn't have a right to protest anything, but a lot of this was spurred on intentionally, because it didn't have to be violent, you see. We had the same thing happen in Los Angeles. It was a psyops, and they got thousands and thousands of people to riot over Los Angeles County, a 42-square-mile area. That's a huge area. And when they ran out of things to burn there, they went into the suburbs and did the same things. People were standing or lying down on the roof of their house with a hose, a water hose, in case somebody set their house on fire, and a shotgun in case somebody tried to break into their house to protect.
I got news for you. I was there, and businesses, friends, Marines that I know were out helping other Asians as well as black people guard their businesses in Watts with shotguns, standing on the roof and rotating their shift, sleeping 3 and 4 hours at a time throughout the day in the heat of the day on top of buildings. And they would stand up, 4 and 5 of them would stand up and say, okay, gang, you want to crash the glass on my store? You get close enough to throw a rock and you're dead.
Mm-hmm.
And you get close enough to throw a Molotov cocktail on the top of my roof, you're going to die. I had four of my own Marines come to me and beg me for emergency leave, to take leave, to go up and protect. These four Marines were Texans boys, you know, from Texas.
Yes.
You ever heard of the Alamo? These four Marines from the deep south of Texas went out to watch to protect the home of a fellow Marine who had died in Vietnam, and his black family was scared to death that their home was going to be burned because they had the American flag out front as well as the Marine Corps flag, and it had been pulled down, ripped to shreds, and set on fire. And a Molotov cocktail was thrown on the porch, and the grandmother went out and tore her dress off and put the fire out. And then picked up the phone and called Jacob on the phone. And Jacob, who was a sergeant in Vietnam where Lewis had died, and Jacob came to me with three of the guys from South Texas, from San Antonio, begging me for leave. I signed their leave papers, but I never charged them with leave. And I sent them out there. I said, you get out there, you call me back, and you tell me how many more people you need. And before the night was there, we had 20 Marines guarding three families. But that wasn't a black-white issue. That was a human right issue. And that's what happens when you get mob running loose. They don't care what your nationality is. They don't care what your religion is. They don't care what your color of your skin is. They don't care if you're a lizard. They don't care if you're a human being. A mob is going to kill you.
Yeah, and that, you know, where was law enforcement during all that?
They were hunkered down at the station houses guarding them. You ever watch that movie that was out of the Bronx about the siege of one of the police stations in the Bronx?
I'm not sure I did.
The name of the movie fails me at this time. I don't have my historian here. Colorado Al, man. him and Peter Vazola from California. They are my historians on movies. I'm not much of a movie guy, a movie buff, but I could give them segments out of a movie, and those two guys, wham, within a minute. They would come and give me the name of the movie, and all I can remember is it has something to do with the siege of a police station in the Bronx, in Harlem, and there was a riot that went down, and the gangs, black and white drug gangs, wanted they wanted to take over the police station, as well as get their buddies out of jail. This siege went down all night long. But where were all the policemen? Well, the ones that were in this old police station, they were closing this police station down, and they were moving all the criminals to another police station. And these last six gang members were the last six there. The desk search, the desk clerk, and two or three other secretaries were left there, and it was just as sun was going down, and they fought all night long against these gangs that were trying to get these other guys out of jail and free them. And that's what that movie was about. Well, that's mob rule, and that's coming to a city close by right now, to where you live. I don't care if you live in the United States. I don't care if you live in London. I don't care if you live in Cambodia. Mob rule is going to happen when food is not out there and money is taken in. If the governments of the world, through this cabal elitist group of intergalactical evil people, close down this planet and say we're going to shut down all the banks on this planet and do a banking holiday for 4 days and revamp the money to where if you've got $6, it's going to be one, but here's what the new coin looks like. This is the new dollar. If you've got $10, this is what is going to be your new dollar bill. So are they going to devalue? No, they're not going to devalue. They're just going to do away with the old currency, and they're going to go to a new world order currency right here, right now, in your ballpark. That's what Obama was doing down in Mexico the other day with the Canadian minister. You had the three leaders of the three major countries of North America, and they were setting up the rules and regs. What? I don't know. Don't take my word for it.
Yeah.
You don't have to take my word for it. There's other people out there, congressmen, that are coming out, and they're speaking about the truth. That I got a communique today. Hey, Drew, Georgia Congressman Brown has warned within a town hall meeting that Obama is planning to take over by martial law. And this is dated August the 13th. That's yesterday in my world. So some of you that are out there in Hawaii, in a few short hours, it'll be the 13th. It was done yesterday, okay? In my world. And what it says is that Georgia Congressman Paul Brown warned the attendees of his town hall event this last Tuesday that the Obama administration and its officials were planning to use the pandemic or some other natural or catastrophic event to implement a martial law sequence in the United States of America within the next 30 days.
Yeah. Now, while you're describing all that, you know what's going through my mind? I posted a couple of things on my website a few days ago. One of them was an article from International Currency Review publisher-editor Christopher Story. And I read some other reports, independent reports, that are reporting what's going on behind the scenes. This is not something anyone is seeing in the news. Now, I'd like to spend a moment and go through a couple of these in our closing moments, Drew. The trip to North Korea, I feel, was a ruse just to give Clinton an excuse for being in North Korea, which has played a major role in the money laundering. Bush 43 went to Australia to get some money out of a bank there that was stashed away, and that was thwarted. I understand that Clinton wasn't so successful. I don't have all the details that was being looked at by all the parties, and they weren't disclosing everything. Hillary went to Kenya and chided the Kenyans about breaking the law. You want to talk about the pot calling the kettle black. She's telling them that they have to start operating with integrity and honesty. And she's there trying to steal money herself. Okay? So they're all doing their thing. This is something we've been describing. It's no accident. What business did she have in Kenya? Right? I mean, ask yourself, what business does she have being in Kenya right now with all the problems we have in this country? They're bouncing around, jet-setting around the world, trying to see where they can stash money or where they can pick it up and move it somewhere else, get it into their hands to play, because that's all they've been doing. All the years Clinton was in the White House, Bush 41, all the years he was in the White House, all the years he was in the CIA, all he did was make money selling drugs, illegal drugs, shipping them around the world, murdering people, murdering children in snuff films. This has been written about by plenty of people. Ted Gunderson was on the show last night and talked about the Franklin cover-up. And John DeCamp, who was a former congressman, and wrote the book, The Franklin Cover-Up, and did a DVD presentation, documentary, called Conspiracy of Silence. He was heavily involved in that production. And what did they do? They picked up the papers off the streets in Washington, D.C., that when that came out in the I believe it was the Washington Times. The corruption has been going on for years and years and years and years, and the average person is out there saying, well, you know, we made a bad choice when we elected this one. They have no idea that they didn't elect anyone. They went to a place and they cast a vote, but it was never counted. because they put the person in there that they wanted to do the dirty deed for that 4 or 8 year period. And when they got a little bit too greedy or got a little bit too arrogant and stepped out of line, they removed them. And that's why Bush Sr. was only in there for 4 years. They realized he was more valuable to them working behind the scenes in secret, out of the public eye, where he could put other people out front to do the dirty work for him, just as it's going on today. And these are the issues that people have to wake up to. I'm going to keep talking about this, and I know you are too, until people wake up. And eventually, it's going to be too late. It's going to be too late for everybody.
I'm out here doing it on a daily basis because I'm letting the government know that I'm not going to go quietly in the night. I'm not on the side of the government. I'm also not on the side of any of these radicals out here that think that they have to take down the government by force. I think that we need to continue on and march forward against all of this, this radicalism. I believe that the New World Order elitists are going to knock off Obama. And they're going to blame it on one group of people, i.e., the white people are a white rogue group. And I'm trying to tell everybody, look, that the worst thing that can happen right now is a white rogue group get out there and assassinate any public official anywhere. You got to be patient. They're killing themselves. They're going to be forcing their hands and stepping over the bounds, i.e. they, and at some point, there is some major, there is some captain, there's some colonel, there's some general that's going to stand up to the plate and say, hell no, I'm not going to take it anymore. This is wrong. And those of you that believe in the rights of man, and the belief of God the Father and the liberty of mankind, come with me because it's time to stand and make a stand for the rights of man. Just like Robert E. Lee walked away from Abraham Lincoln, says, I don't want to be your general over all of your army because you're wrong. I will stand with my state. I will stand with Virginia. And he did. And with the one-tenth of the amount of manpower, one-fiftieth of the amount of financial aid and support and uniforms, cloth, clothing, etc., one-fiftieth of the resources, the southern states that united together beat and literally knocked the northern states in the pulp of the sewage for over 18 months, and only by attrition and numbers. And where were the numbers coming from? The numbers were coming from the Irish and the Germans and the French, who were being begged to come to the United States by Abraham Lincoln to go through the island. And when they got off the ship, if you were over the age of 15 and under the age of 45, you were immediately signed up into the military, and you went directly to war. Over three-thirds of the several battalions of Irishmen that came to fight and fought in the United States and died came here because they were leaving Ireland to get away from the famine and the plague and starvation.
Yeah, we still got that going on. Yeah, we still have that going on today. And, you know, it's not just in Africa. You've got people in Iraq starving. You've got people in Afghanistan. You've got people even in parts of Europe who are starving. You know, this thing over Kosovo all these years, you know, that's about mineral rights. You know, they make it a people issue, but it's really about this mass genocide, because they just have to get their hands on the wealth that a particular nation has. They create a puppet dictator and then they bring him down when he doesn't do their bidding. You see, because they all become power mongers and they fight with each other. So they just get rid of them. And there's a long, long history. There's been some really good books and even articles that are available on the internet that describe the history of how they've intentionally created these tyrannical dictators to rule a country because they got them playing on their side. They, in return for giving them power or putting them in power, they made them wealthy. They abused their people, and while they were busy doing that, our country and the Illuminati factions that our country is serving as policemen of the world, military policemen of the world, going under the guise of creating democracy and freedom, where are we? What say do we have in our issues that we can say yes, you will love democracy to these other countries that are invaded? What freedoms do we have? We have criminality at the top in what should be leadership, and it should be people serving us, the people that make up this country. But you see, this was all couched in a lot of verbiage and word games, word puzzles. Hundreds of years ago, Drew, you know that very well, that they really couched what was going on in secret agreements. And it, as I've and you have often said, the truth is eventually going to win out. You see, everyone's going to begin seeing the truth, and there's nothing they can say about the truth. They try feebly now to discredit the truth. And then first they ignore us, then they attack us. And then they lose. It's always the same story. The truth always wins out.
Exactly. Thomas Jefferson, 179 years ago, just shy of 30 days, 179 years ago, wrote a letter to William Charles Jarvis. And in the letter, he succinctly wrote, "I know of no safe depository of the ultimate powers of society but the people themselves. And if we think them not entitled enough to exercise their control with a wholesome discretion, the remedy is not to take it from them, but to inform their discretion." And yet today, our liberties are being taken away from us and given to, and the government wants to take us all over, and thinking the government can rule us better, that they can discern us better, that they can divvy up the money better, that they can provide better health care, that they can mandate the safety by vaccinating you with a vaccination that's got what in it? Who knows? But it's going to have germs in it that's going to kill you, because they, meaning the Illuminatists out there, are attempting to take over this world, and if they can't take this world over, they want to destroy it. They want to make it a Mars-like planet if they can't take it over. And they were using other beings from other planets to help them. But this is God's planet. This is His planet. This is His Garden of Eden. And this planet is far from being overpopulated. Far from being overpopulated. We can grow enough food on 1/4 acre to feed a family of 8, 24/7, i.e. 3 meals a day. And it doesn't take right. How many of you out there have prepared? Do you know how to grow tomatoes and leeks and asparagus and eggplant or watermelon or squash or beans? How many of you taught yourself how to just plant seeds and get them to grow and bring forth a fruit? How many of you have understood that you need to put a few fruit trees, i.e. peach trees, pear trees, apple trees, on your land and live to be able to live off your land instead of planting pine trees? Now, I shouldn't be knocking pine trees, because pine trees, you can make a soup from the pine needles, and you can make a tea from the pine needles. A tea that will give you nourishment. A tea that will kill germs from pine needles, from the early pine needles.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You can take a, you can take the tip off of a pine branch and use it as a toothbrush and actually clean your teeth better than you can with a toothbrush and toothpaste.
Remember that guy, skip
the fluoride, too.
Yeah, and skip the fluoride. And what about that guy back in the 60s? What was his name? Yule Gibbons?
Yule Gibbons, yeah.
There was a naturist that taught me as a boy that when I walked through the swamps, if I got lost in the swamps, because I watched Yule Gibbons do commercials for a cereal. Grape nut cereal. I learned how to go into the swamp and to find all kinds of things in the swamp that I could eat right there in my backyard. And I didn't know I could eat cattails. I just thought it was a weed out there in the swamp. And I could see cattails forever. And pine needles. I didn't know you could make pine needles key until Mary Joan Mondello, my master herbalist, told me that just a few days ago. And you talk about a toothpick. The perfect toothpick is a pine needle.
So just don't tell me that you made the cattail pie or something like that.
No, I didn't make cattail pie. I made cattail soup.
Okay.
And I did eat it, and it was nourishment. And I actually did what many people refer to as a 2-week outback growth down in Australia. They call it a manhood where a young man goes into the outback for 2 weeks and lives off the land.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I did that on the swamps of Louisiana and found out that all you need is a fish hook and a line and a Bowie knife, and you can live in the swamps.
Yeah. Now, Drew, on a past show here, and I don't remember if I was on your show or you were on my show, but
somebody's show.
Yeah, I talked about the Ringing Cedars series of books, Anastasia. You remember the
right? We did it. That was on your show about 3 weeks ago, and we had several people chime in from around the world, especially a Russian girl, to chime in about those, and they were up in Canada.
Yeah, well, Anastasia describes a process where you take seeds. And now, let's say you're going to plant 10 or 12 tomato plants, okay? You actually don't even have to grab all 12 of the seeds. She says you can take 4 or 5 of them, put them under your tongue and hold them there for 9 minutes. Now, while you're doing that, you can take a hoe or a spade and you can dig up an area of soil, and you want to get the soil natural, nourished with natural compost. And then you just plant those seeds. You can actually plant all of them in one little hole. It doesn't have to be very deep. You know, you can plant a tomato plant at a depth of 1/4 of an inch. But of course, you want to work the soil several inches below that, so it's nice and loamy. Okay, so it's broken up and it can breathe, and it'll accept moisture and sunlight, and it'll spread evenly through the soil. While you're holding that under your tongue, you can have the ground prepared, and one little hole, and you take those few seeds after holding it under your tongue for 9 minutes. She describes how you can hold them up in the air, or you can raise your hands up into the air as if you're reaching out to God, okay, and pulling energy in from the universe. Now, why put it under your tongue? Well, she describes that the seeds are intelligent, and I'm not talking about genetically modified seeds, by the way, that these seeds will pick up the nutrients that your body requires, and when those tomato plants will grow, they will have a very beneficial effect beyond just feeding you. They will give your body all the nutrients. The seeds are that intelligent. The plants are that intelligent that they will respond to what you need. And they will produce a fruit that has all of those elements and vitamins within it.
And ladies and gentlemen, what he's describing, you can do this with all your plants. And when Don, I'll throw one thing at you that we did in Louisiana, and that was, and a lot of people don't realize this, in the spring, in April, brim would spawn. and we would take and catch large amounts of brim. And for every seed that we would put in the ground, we would put a brim of fish,
yeah,
ladies and gentlemen. If it was a catfish, we would take that catfish and dissect that sucker down about 6 or 7 times, including the head, and plant that in the garden with a seed next to it. And that whatever we planted there, we would have fantastic fruits and vegetables all the way through the summer into the early fall.
Sure, the Indians did that when they grew corn, and it did, that doesn't have to be a really large fish, and it's amazing when that fish breaks down and the plant is ready to use it, how fast and how strong that plant becomes, and how succulent the fruit is on it.
By the way, I just got a pop in. No, don't go out and buy any frozen fish in the store and do this. That ain't gonna work, guys. You need to go catch your own fish. Don't be so darn lazy. Go by the store and buy them frozen.
And you don't go buy it at a fast food restaurant either.
No.
You know, the best way is to go out and catch one, you know.
Yep. By the way, I got a pop-up here that came in to remind Don that the CIA actually infected Americans with deadly germs in 1949. They did so with nasal filters and other protective gear that they were wearing while they sprayed infectious diseases in places that they targeted, such as Hawaii, Alaska, New York City, Florida in the Miami area, and California in the Los Angeles Watts area.
Yes.
And San Francisco in the low southwest area of the Chinese Quarter.
That's very accurate information. That did happen. And there have been other periods in our history where that's been going on as well. Yes. Well, Drew, we're about out of time here. I want to thank you for being on the show. Give out all your information to folks in case they want to sign up to receive your news and views. They want to listen to your radio show, anything you can think of.
We need another hour. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Drew Malone Raines III. I will not go quietly in the night. I have a radio show that is hosted by Wind Talkers Radio Network, which is independently owned, operated radio stations around the world. They have no allegiance to nobody. They pick and choose the stations they want to bring forth. And if you're out there and you're listening to this broadcast over one of those FM or AM radio stations, God bless you. Give support to these young men and women, or old men and old women, who are running these stations, because they're out there to bring you the truth, to enlighten you, and to bring God's word to your heart. I have a website, the 3 W's, Alpha, Michael, Delta, Dot, Echo, Lima, Echo, Quebec, Ulysses, India, Tango, Yankee.com. That's AMD.EL, the word equity, .com. I have a news and views that you can sign up for. It's free. It goes out every morning, 5 days a week, sometimes 6, sometimes 7, but it goes out Monday through Friday for sure. With special notations of memos on Saturday. You can get that free by sending me an email. And by the way, I don't hide. My email address is Drew, D-R-E-W, Raines, R-A-I-N-E-S, @yahoo.com. For those of you in the military, I would appreciate it if you would send the email to one, 1, 10, T-I-N, like a 10 metal 10, soldier, 110 soldier @yahoo.com, because you guys get extra emails specifically for the military. If you're retired, former Army, Air Force, Navy, Marine Corps, or National Guard or Coast Guard, you get some specials that I don't give out to the civilian side. You just have to let me know what branch of the service and when you served. I will do a double check. I will make sure that you did serve in the military. I don't care if you just went to boot camp. I will put you in that category. And believe it or not, I've got 9 or 10 guys that served in the Marine Corps and were discharged out of the Marine Corps because of medical discharges while they were in boot camp. I've got 2 Navy guys that went through Navy boot camp, and one of them was in a car wreck 3 days after he got out of the Navy boot camp and lost a foot in a motorcycle accident, and he was discharged from the Marine Corps. From the Navy, and I give the same benefits to him as if he had served 40 years and became a master sergeant or a master chief petty officer. There's no rhyme or reason that we in America can't look after anybody that's taken the time to put their life out to join the military to honor us. Now, those of you that are civilians in the civilian world, I don't hold any grudges against any of you guys. Maybe you served during Vietnam era as a civilian here in the United States. That's fine. My website is for everybody to unite and network together and pass the truth around. 3 years ago, I yelled and screamed and tried to get people to buy ammunition. 16 cents a piece for a round of 5.56 ammo. 16 cents. That, ladies and gentlemen, that's $160 for 1,000 rounds. And today, that 5.56 ammo is running at 89 cents a piece all the way up to $1.50, depending on where you buy it and what your size bullet is.
Caliber. Yeah.
Caliber. I've got an AK-47 rounds that I bought 20,000 rounds for less than $400 in 1995. And I still have that 20,000 rounds of AK-47 ammo. I still have 2 AK-47s. I still have 2 40-round magazines. And I got news for you. The rounds, just the ammunition, sells today for almost $16,000. And I can't sell it. Why should I sell it? Because I know I'm going to need it. So that's if everybody else wants to know anything else about me, I'm just a Marine. I just came up from the bayous of Louisiana, and I'm here to help you, and I believe in God the Father. I believe in the Waldensian faith that turn the cheek, but I can only turn it once. Once you get hit, if they come at you again, then you fight back. That's all I got to say, Don. I appreciate you for allowing me to come on your show, and I appreciate you allowing me to play Dr. Manning.
It's an honor to have you on the show, and it's an honor to hear Dr. Manning. In fact, I plan in the future to play some of his speeches that touch upon a variety of areas. And for anyone out there that thinks that man is a racist, better look again. You can listen to many of his recordings on YouTube. I think some are on Google Video as well. And certainly you can go to his website, which is atlahministries.com. That's atlahministries.com. Also, visit my website, directlightproductions.com. Got a few new things up there. If you missed last night's show with Ted Gunderson, you'll find it very fascinating. We touched upon the case of Dr. Jeffrey McDonald, who was railroaded into prison for the murder of his own family, a murder which he did not commit. And it's a very revealing interview. Also, Monday, this past Monday, we've gotten some email that some folks are having trouble downloading the page or the audio files from Dr. A. Drew Watt's interview. That was about an hour, 45-minute interview, which I put up in 2 parts. And you can download that by clicking on subscribe. It's a free file. It takes you to the Apple Store. And if you don't have iTunes, I recommend you get it because it downloads automatically when you go to Evident Footprints on the iTunes Store. And that subscribe button takes you right there. There's no charge for that. Very important vaccine information. Well, we cleared the dust and brought the truth out on what's going on. And you must listen to that information.
Oh, and I've got one more thing I'd like to tell anybody that goes to my website. Everything on my website is free. If you get a pop-up window and it tells you that you have to sign up or pay for something, make darn sure you get in touch with me ASAP. That means some glitch has gone through the system, and my website is embedded into the University of Australia, and that is one of the little glitches that Moodle, the Moodle-based system has, is when somebody makes a change somewhere else in the system, sometimes it affects my website, and we don't know why, we don't know how, but I have to go in and manually hit a few buttons and turn everything back into being free. The archives are there for the last 5 years. You can research news articles to your heart's content. There's nothing that you're going to hear on Don Nikolaus' show or my show that if we talk about it, it's been documented, and you're going to find a link right there. Now, the people that I sponsor there, they do not pay me one dime. That I get not one dime for the people that I support, like Greg Evenson or the beef guy, Daryl Dickinson at Dickinson Cattle Ranch, or Mary Joan Mondello, the master herbalist, or for Dr. Carley, Rebecca Carley, who has her own radio show. And obviously Don Nikolaus has got a link there for him. So I want to let you know that I'm not making any money out here. The only way I get money is by the grace of God and donations. I would appreciate that you take care of your family and get prepared, because time is short. And if you've got a bug out bag, there's three books that you need to put in that bug out bag. The book number one is your Bible. If you can get you a waterproof one and they're not hard to find. That can withstand the rigors of what's going out there. And then get you a survival book. And there's a number of them out there. I could recommend four or five, but get you a survival book that's got all the basics of preparedness in there. And then if you've got the finesse to carry a large book, get you a book on the Natural Remedies Encyclopedia. It's a pretty big book, weighs about 6 pounds. But I got news for you. It's got over 11,000 remedies in this book, and you could basically become your own little hospital out there in the wilderness. And those of you that don't think you can do it, it's already been done. There was a group of men family men and women back in World War II in Poland that fought the Nazis for 4 years out in the forest. They even made a movie out there. It's called Defiance. Watch it. Understand. You can survive. You can win. And we already, those of us that have read and understand the Word of God, we win, but we're going to have to stand and fight for it.
Okay. Thank you, Don. Drew, thank you for being on the show. You're going to be on next week. I believe is it Wednesday next week? I think so.
I got Wednesday circled, and I've got a question mark because I got Wednesday and Thursday circled.
Well, I think one of those had to do with a date or something. Actually, next week you are on Wednesday, the 19th, you'll be on, okay?
I'm not 19 anymore, Don.
Well, okay, you're 20, but you're going to be on the show on the 19th.
Okay,
so you make a note.
That's gonna be tough, because I got friends that come by and pick me up on the night right after my own show. We go out and have a few cocktails, but I can do it. That's not a big deal.
Well, we know you'll be rowdy that night, but that's okay. All right, God bless you, Drew. Semper Fi. And folks, you've been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com, and our special guest, Drew Malone Raines III. Visit his website at amd.elequity.com. Sign up for his news and views. It's mind-blowing, some of the stuff that he sends out. Special thanks to Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. Seth Hendrick on the sound. And I'd like to thank the folks at blogtalkradio.com and Wind Talkers Radio Network for carrying this show. To the listening audience, I thank you very much for tuning in. Join us again tomorrow night when my special guest will be scientist, inventor, Jim Murray. We've got another great show for you planned. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light. Or if you're in the daylight, have a wonderful day. Those of you who are experiencing night, have a good night.